Welcome to the Trojan Hoopcast, presented to you on the Daily Trojan Sports Network. I'm your host, Keith DeMolder. Today is the second edition of the Trojan Hoopcast. We hope that you check in with us every week for the podcast right here on DailyTrojan.com as well as SoundCloud. In this last edition's podcast, we'll be talking about the first week of the regular season. We will preview USC's home opener. This season opener, the Friday, finally college basketball is back. Season opener this Friday against Cal State Fullerton at 7 p.m. and then North Dakota State on Monday. A late start for that one, 8 p.m. Monday night. And then we'll get some keys to the game. We'll break it all down. And this is it, folks. College basketball is finally back. Amidst all the controversy, amidst all the speculation, now is the time that we see these top 25 teams take battle, as well as some of these other teams that, you know, could make some surprises. So November 10th, this Friday, is the official game day of the college basketball season, the first official day. We've had scrimmages, practices, exhibition games, but now this is official. And so coming off of a championship-winning season, we'll see if UNC can repeat as champions, but it's a whole other year this year. Taking a look at the national spotlight, the AP Top 10 starts with USC at the 10th spot, which is the highest spot, as we said, that USC has had since the 1974-1975 season. So unbelievable expectations about this team, but also a lot of hope. Looking at the rest of the top 10, it goes North Carolina, Florida, Wichita State, Villanova, Kentucky, Kansas, Arizona, Michigan State, and Duke. Perennial powers for sure, but other than USC, Wichita State is a surprising ranking. They're ranked 7th in the nation right now. Just to take a look at their schedule, last year they went 30-4, but their conference was one of the easier conferences. Now that they're transitioning into the American Athletic Conference, filled with plenty of top 50 teams, that could mean that they have bigger wins, but also a couple losses in conference. In terms of USC, they play a conference with a lot more top 25 teams and potential top 25 teams, so it'll be interesting to see if USC can run the table in their non-conference schedule to put themselves in the best position to have a better record going into the NCAA tournament. The reason I bring up Wichita State is because, just like USC, they bring back a loaded roster. They didn't lose much of their roster from last season, and they actually brought in some transfers and freshmen, just like USC did. So it seems that these teams that are higher ranked in the AP poll are teams that are bringing back their same starting five, or essentially their same starting five. Some people think that bringing up bench players because they're more hungry for reps will have a better impact on their season, but I believe that having that stability will certainly carry a team far. So that said, USC, talking about their starting five, they're hoping to have Chimezi Metu, Benny Boatwright, Elijah Stewart, Jordan McLaughlin, De'Anthony Melton back for another season to help them get to the postseason and potentially make a deep tourney run. But first, they have to win their first game. They can't go undefeated unless they win that first game, not to mention their second game at home. So without further ado, let's talk about this Friday's game against Cal State Fullerton, as well as Monday's contest against North Dakota State. Before we talk about how USC can beat Fullerton, let's first preview this Fullerton team, just give you a little bit of some stats, some player analysis, and you know, finally some keys to how USC can beat them and how Fullerton can maybe try and upset USC. So looking at their starting five, I went to their exhibition matchup against Laverne, and that one, it was not even close in that one, folks. 112-57 was the final in that game. By the half, it was just it was a blowout already, and then they just poured it on in the second half. But before we get to that game, let's talk about their starting five. Most likely going to be a collection of these five players, that being Kyle Allman Jr., Arkeem Robertson, Jackson Rowe, Khalil Ahmad, and Austin Awishika. A lot of people think it's Awishika, but in fact, he corrected me, it's Awishika. So Austin Awishika, another guy in this lineup, very talented and very dangerous. And we saw him start last game. We could also see potentially, because Awishika is not that big of a guard per se, so we could be seeing the freshman Josh Pitts or even Johnny Wang. But in terms of size, Arkeem Robertson, he is their main rebounder. He is their main big man. So they are loaded with guards and forwards on this team, but not very big on the big guys, on the center type of players. So looking down at the starting five, Kyle Allman Jr., fantastic guard. He's just 6'3", but he has Elijah Stewart-esque hops. His ability to get up to the cup and score is just unreal. He's fearless when he goes driving inside. Fantastic ball control. He gets to the free throw line a lot. That's one of his strengths for sure. He can hit the three ball if counted, you know, if he needs to. But he mainly scores a lot of his points in terms of, you know, inside play. And so what I saw from him at that game was his ability to, you know, get alley-oops, give alley-oops, that sort of thing. He's kind of the main guy in terms of scoring on this team. Looking at Allman's best game last year, he scored 28 points against Cal State Northridge, and he scored it on 9 of 14 shooting from the field and also 9 of 10 from the free-throw line. So it just goes to show you how his ability to hit shots from the line will be key for them. So if USC wants to try and stop him, it's all about keeping him to the outside. Not saying he has a horrible three-point shot, but his inside game is certainly where he thrives. Three-point percentage last year, 27.1% for Kyle Allman. So he's not much of a shooter, but he certainly can drive and he can score with the best of them. 10.2 points per game last year. So he's certainly a big factor on this team. But looking at some of these other guys, Arkeem Robertson, this guy, he's a flat-out giant. Huge body, huge frame, 6'9", 230. Solid touch on his inside shots. He can rebound very well, especially on the offensive glass. The question will be how he handles Chimezie Metu and Benny Boatwright. And Robertson, last year, he was a primary bench player. He would come off, get a couple minutes here or there with rebounds and things like that, being that, you know, that primary post presence. But now he's going to be a starter. He's going to earn starter minutes. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs, given the fact that he's, you know, one of their only big men, really. Cal State Fullerton, they lost a lot of big pieces from last year, a lot of seniors that graduated and some transfers, of course. Trey Coggins, he was their big threat. 17.5 points per game as senior. And then Lionheart Leslie, 10.6 points. And so they're without a lot of their scoring help, but a lot of their big man help as well. Darcy Malone, another guy to mention. All those guys have moved on. Richard Peters as well. He's no longer with the program, graduated. So it's a very young core, this core is, but they're very talented for sure. Looking at the rest of these guys, Jackson Rowe, the former freshman Big West selection, now a sophomore, coming back this year with high aspirations for sure. Once again, another big body, and he loves to play inside, and he's kind of their X factor in that game. He's 6'7", 210. He's from Canada. So he brings in that Canadian touch, if you will. But looking at his performance against Laverne, he was fantastic. 5 of 5 from the field, 1 for 1 from deep downtown. 12 points, 2 rebounds. They didn't really play him nor Allman very much, but what we did see of Rowe, he was awesome. His ability to drive inside, and he's a really tough player. Just for being 6'7", he can really rebound. He can really be a defensive force. He had 4 blocks on the game. Just fantastic. Last year, he started 27 games, started all of the games he played in, and he averaged 10.4 points. So he's almost like a Benny Boatwright in the sense that he is their freshman phenom who is now, you know, graduating to being a sophomore and having a huge role on this offense. USC needs to look out for him because he is certainly dangerous. And then the other guards, Khalil Ahmad. Ahmad, he can dunk the ball, but he's not too flashy. Very consistent player. As a shooter, last game, we saw him be fairly effective. 2 for 4 from the field. He also hit his only three-pointer, 1 for 1. 2 or 4 from the line, so not the greatest line from the line, per se. But looking at last year's performance, he started 11 games, but in his 21 games played, he averaged 11.2 points per game, so he's a scorer for sure. He likes to take the three ball, averaged 4.2 three-pointers attempted per game, which is saying a lot considering that Trey Coggins took 8.3 threes attempted per game last year. So they're going to count on Ahmad from deep. He's kind of the Elijah Stewart-esque type of player in that he can dunk, but his primary role is that shooting guard position. So I liked what I saw from him. Not a flashy player per se, but he's certainly a consistent scorer. And then finally, to round out the starting five, potential starting five, Austin Awishika, as we said, very interesting spelling of his last name. He was great as well in that game. 1 for 2, 2 points, but it was a main ball distributor. 3 assists, was third highest in the game. He did have a turnover, but what I saw from him in his 11 minutes was an ability just like Almond to get to the basket, and that's what Fullerton's really going to need, is that ability to cut through the lane, given that USC is coming in with a lot of defensive expectations. We actually talked with some of the USC players about some of the defensive expectations and how they're dealing with their new system. We'll get to those comments in a moment, but for the time being, they're going to have their hands full, at least with Cal State Fullerton. That a lot of people, they don't know a lot about Fullerton. They know that they've been to the tourney before, but they don't really know much about them. And I think this game will show just how talented this team is, especially their starting five. Awishika, last year, just a freshman. He started one game, but he made a considerable impact. 6.1 points per game, great numbers from him. So they're looking for him to step up in his sophomore year. Looking at the bench, they have a very deep bench. Do not count out the bench. Although they're very young, incredibly talented. Jamal Smith, Landon Kirkwood, Josh Pitts, Johnny Wang, and Daniel Van Zandt, all huge pieces of the puzzle. As well, some newcomers, Ian Fox. He comes in from Fullerton College. He was a former Redondo Beach Union star, state playoffs, all of that there at Redondo Union. He's bounced around a couple times, and now he's back in his home state playing for Cal State Fullerton. He'll primarily be a six-man type of deal, you know, maybe the third guard off the bench potentially. He had a little bit of an injury scare last game. They're checking on that, but a very talented guard for sure. He can make plays with the best of them. Looking at the rest, though, of these newcomers, Daniel Van Zandt, he's 5'9", so a little bit undersized. He has a brace on his right knee, which gives me a little pause, but he is fearless. He can handle the ball well for being so small. He's very physical despite his size. Love what I see, what I've seen from him. Landon Kirkwood, he's another great guard. He can shoot the ball, and look out for him, you know, driving inside as well as on the three-point line. Josh Pitts, he'll probably get a lot of play time in this game, considering he's literally one of their biggest players on the team. 6'10", 245, he's a big body, very raw, though. We saw a lot of his shots. He had open shots inside. He was unable to put them away against Laverne. So he's looking to try and work on his touch in this year. And then Johnny Wang, the freshman, 6'9", 240, another big body. He reminds me a lot of Kristaps Porzingis in that he's a big kid who can shoot the three, but is primarily a guy that works inside. So watch out for him on the outside. They like to use the screen play with Wang coming up top and maybe even getting the ball for a late three. Dwight Ramos, he's another guy. Last year was a freshman, 3.2 points per game. Started 4 games, so he's not unusual in the starting lineup, but probably won't see much starting minutes. But he'll certainly be a big factor off the bench this year. Another guy, Devon Clare, 2.5 points per game last year. Another freshman turned sophomore this year. Again, all of these guards, really, it's a common theme that they can take it to the hole. They've got mad hops, and they love to set each other up for alley-oops. Sometimes it may not work, but they like to take it to the glass. They're primarily they primarily like to score off the basket, you know, off the backboard type of thing. They can shoot the three, but that's not the primary way that they score. Against Laverne, they went 8 of 18 from the floor. The primary three-point shooter was Ian Fox. Ian Fox scored 10 points on the game, 4 of 7, but was most concerning from the offensive aspect, even though Fullerton did score 112 points, they were unreal in that game. What was most concerning was the fact that from the line, they were not hitting their free throws. In the entire game, they went 24 for 39 for 61.5%. So had they hit all of them, that would have been, you know, 15 more points. They would have scored 127. So just goes to show you that free throws are certainly an important part of the game for them. Looking at that game, it was not even close, folks. 18 turnovers from Laverne and their inability to shoot the ball. They went 3 of 21 from deep, 14%, 31% from the floor. And here's something that was interesting, though. One bright spot for Laverne was the fact that they were able to rebound on the offensive side of the ball pretty well. Evan Gustafson, he had 4 offensive boards in the first half, and he was able to, you know, kind of use his big body to get around the bigs of Fullerton, that being Josh Pitts, but also Akeem Robertson. And so Akeem, you know, he's a big kid, but sometimes when guys are physical with him, he can get beat. So I think a key for Fullerton is to maintain that defensive rebounding, I guess, circle, if you will. Those two post players, they have to be, you know, especially aggressive on the rebounding game, because with Chimezie Metu and Benny Boatwright, they're going to be hounding this Fullerton defense for boards, and you know how up Elijah Stewart can get. So any ball is up for grabs, really, in this game on Friday. So you know the team, you know this Fullerton team, they're deep, a little bit untested, but certainly very talented. Jackson Rowe is the X factor. So looking at some keys to the game for Fullerton and for also the Trojans, it all comes down to forward play, really. Who's going to win the battle in the trenches? Because Fullerton, they have Rowe, who's a great shot blocker, really good defensively, but also can rebound. And then you have Robertson, who's a big body, but you got to wonder, are Benny and Chimezie going to come out blocking shots, getting rebounds? Because if they are beat, if Boatwright and Metu are beat inside, that'll give Fullerton the ability to then drive inside at will, to go up for alley-oops, to then have the offensive stability enough to take risks from deep downtown, even though they may not be the best three-point shooting team. So it'll all be about who wins down low, who wins the board game, per se. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think that Fullerton has a lot to prove, but so does USC. USC, looking at their offseason and talking with Coach Enfield, also talking with some of these players, they're saying that their offense is pretty set, but their defense needs a lot of work from what they saw in scrimmages. So you got a really high-flying team like Fullerton that could just show some of these defensive weaknesses. And so I think it'll be a good learning game for the Trojans for sure. So looking at Fullerton, what do they need to do? Of course, as I said, they need to win the rebound battle, but I think execution more so is the key too. USC is a very, very lengthy team, and they bring a lot of size. D'Anthony Melton is a fantastic defender. So making sure that they're able to execute their offense the way they want and not to be challenged by this USC team. Looking at the Fullerton defense, Laverne was, despite being undersized, Laverne was very undersized. Gustafson is 6'6". He was their tallest player for the first half. But looking at that Fullerton defense, they come out with a lot of outside pressure. So they wanted to keep the ball outside. They were not letting anything through. They were not letting anybody get to the basket, hardly. So it's a very perimeter defense for sure. But that said, when you have a perimeter defense and you have guys that can cut up the defense like J-Mac and his ball handling skills, when you have a situation like that where you have guards like Elijah Stewart, D'Anthony Melton, who are very talented ball handlers, it could kind of erode that outside pressure. And also when you have guys who can shoot the three ball with accuracy, I mean, you had Laverne take 21 three-pointers and only make 3 of them. So the fact that USC can shoot the three ball pretty well just goes to show you that maybe Fullerton is going to have to change up their game plan on Friday night. Maybe roll with more of a zone offense type or zone defense type of deal. It remains to be seen. But that's the Fullerton keys to the victory, I guess you could say. It'll be an interesting game. We'll be covering that game for the Daily Trojans, so make sure to watch out for our coverage. Live tweets, as always. Should be a fantastic game. But moving on from Fullerton, now looking at this North Dakota State team. Very talented as well, but maybe not as talented as Fullerton will be. So maybe an easier game for the Trojans, although every game is going to be a battle, especially for a team that's hungry for a non-conference win as big as USC would be. So overall, looking at this North Dakota State Bison squad, last year they had a lot of trouble. They were able to get a winning record, 19-11, but in conference they dropped a lot of really tight games against IUPUI, a 5-point loss in overtime, and then at Omaha, a 4-point loss, and then IUPUI at home, they got blown out the last game of the season. So not really what you want to see in terms of trying to make a tourney run or a run at any type of championship in the Summit League. So they're looking forward to rebounding after the last season. They bring back a lot of very talented players from before, and they also, unlike Laverne, who is very undersized, North Dakota State is oversized, if you will, if that's even possible. They bring a lot of size, especially in terms of height. They may not be the biggest in terms of muscle or prowess, as you will, but this team is certainly tall. Their shortest player on their whole squad is 6'2", that being Jared Samuelson. But most of this team hovers around 6'5", 6'6". And a lot of them are guards, so they bring a point guard in Paul Miller, the senior. He's looking to make a huge splash this season. Last year, he was their leader in minutes, but also in points per game. 16.7 points per game. He was also one of their main ball handlers, but he was mainly a scorer, not necessarily the point guard in terms of distributing. That title belongs to Kai Cabellis. Last year, he led the team with 80 assists. And looking at this offense, very balanced. They like to spread the ball around for sure, but Paul Miller, he is their main guy. Averaged 5.2 rebounds. Huge, huge guy in the fact that he's 6'6", so he can play inside. He's not going to be forced to the outside. He can drive on you for sure. He can shoot the three ball. 37.8% last year. Not the highest on the team, but he can shoot from the outside with the best of them. Looking at the rest of this starting roster, the big man for them is going to be the freshman, Jordan Meidinger. He comes in 7'2", 220. So they're certainly going to play him, considering that, other than Chimezi Metu and Benny Boatwright bringing their 6'11 size, you also have Victor Oyelunmo, who comes in with a 7-foot frame. So Meidinger is going to come in and hopefully get some big minutes for the Bison. Looking at the rest, though, of this starting five, other than Paul Miller, he comes back, as we said, the leading scorer on this team. But let's look at some of these other guys that come in that could be big, big factors. The thing about the Bison, they do lose a lot of players from the year before. Dexter Werner, Kai Cabellis, they're all gone. They're no longer with the program. They graduated. So now it's time for some of these younger players to try and come in and take the reins. So looking at them, a guy to mention for sure, the second biggest scoring threat, AJ Jacobson, 6'6", 210, the senior from Fargo. So that senior class of Paul Miller and AJ Jacobson, they're certainly going to be the focal point of this team. They're likely to get a lot of minutes, but they should, because they're big guards who can shoot from the outside. Jacobson led the team. He was a real marksman, 42.7%. He hit 50 of his 117 threes, so he can surely shoot the three ball. Also, 5.5 rebounds per game. Also, second on the team in terms of blocks, 23 blocked shots, and he averaged 10.6 points per game. So when you have two big scores like that, like Miller and Jacobson, they're almost interchangeable, really. Jacobson, 65 assists as well to his name. So it gives this offense for the Bison a lot of versatility and a lot for these guards for USC to handle, in the sense that now Melton has to guard not only just Miller, but you know, also maybe potentially Jacobson, and both of them could go off if they get the opportunity. That said, looking at their big men, we already referenced earlier Jordan Mehdinger coming in as a freshman, but another guy who's coming in, one of the leaders on the team, is Spencer Eliason, 6'9", 240, the junior Spencer Eliason. He didn't get much play time last year, averaged about 6.5 minutes per game, but this year he's going to get a lot more play time. He had 1.5 points per game, but he was mainly a rebounder with 24 rebounds. So a lot of question marks from him, from a lot of these big men. So I guess it helps the forwards, the front court for North Dakota State, the fact that they do have two big guys in Miller and Jacobson. And looking at some of these sophomores, some guys that they're going to try and rely on mostly to bring up the scoring, as well as the defending Tyson Ward, the 6'6 sophomore from Tampa. Very lengthy. He can certainly get up. Looking at his tape, he's a monster on the glass. But he can shoot it from the outside as well. 26 of 70 from deep downtown, 37%. Not a great free throw shooter. 67.9%. So he needs to work on that this year if he wants to get a little bit better. But that said, he's a great defender. 18 steals, also 29 assists. So he's another one of those role players that'll come in. He played 30 games last year, so he appeared in nearly all of North Dakota State's games. And so his ability to come in and be a solid defender, especially with forwards that can score on USC, like a Chuck O'Bannon and Jordan Usher, but also Shaquan Aaron, and guys that are going to match up. It's a very weird matchup, almost a mismatch, really, in the sense that, you know, point guards Miller and Jacobson are going to be the focal point, and usually point guards aren't that big. They're not 6'6". So Melton and McLaughlin, they're going to have their hands full for sure. So coming in, Tyson Ward, as well as the junior Dylan Miller, they're going to have to come in and bring that size. Dylan Miller, 6'8", 230, a huge body for sure. Last year wasn't that great of a score, 3.4 points. Per game, Ward had 5.8, but looking at his free throw percentage, not bad, 14 of 18, one of the higher percentages, actually the highest on the team, besides Jared Samuelson. He went for 100%, but maybe they see Miller utilized as a guy that's going to go inside and go and get some points. Looking at Miller, though, one of his strengths is offensive rebounding. Him and Ward combined for 54 offensive rebounds, which, you know, some of the highest on the team next to Dexter Werner. So the fact that Ward and Miller are great inside rebounders, especially on the offensive glass, can't forget the freshman sophomore Dang Wee. Both, all three of them, really great offensive rebounders. They're mainly the freshman last year, coming in as sophomores this year. That sophomore core, they're those forwards that can't really score, but they're going to provide you with that defensive prowess, but also that rebounding that they desperately are going to need, considering that USC is bringing a lot of size themselves. So we saw the game before, not last game because they haven't played it yet, but against Fullerton, USC is going to play a different type of game. Fullerton's primarily guard heavy. They don't bring a lot of size. But with North Dakota State, as I've been pounding at this podcast, is the fact that North Dakota State is big. They're very big, not just in terms of size, but also, you know, a lot of these guys, they weigh 230, 240. So they're big kids, and that's where USC could potentially have a little bit of trouble. We saw it with SMU last year, that this SMU team that they played in the tournament wasn't the biggest in terms of size per se, but a lot of their guards, a lot of their forwards were big. They were 6'4 and up, you know, weighed upwards of 220. And it gave USC a lot of problems because USC is a prototypical style offense. They have a smaller point guard, you know, somewhat of a medium, you know, shooting guards, that being Elijah Stewart and De'Anthony Melton. They're not the biggest of kids. And then you have, you know, traditional two forwards in the center in Chimezie Metu and Benny Boatwright. So I think that we'll see a lot of different types of defenses from Andy Enfield and this squad rolling against the Bison, considering that USC is going to have to try and work against that size. It could be a problem inside, especially with all these defensive concerns we've heard about from the team in practice. They were saying, you know, our defensive sets, like, we need to work on our communication. And so I just wonder, and a lot of fans are wondering, what this North Dakota State team could do to a defense that isn't where they want to be. Talking with a lot of players, they said, this isn't where we want to be. We'll get to those quotes a little bit later. But looking at some keys to the game for North Dakota State, as we said, size is key. They're going to have to utilize that size inside and outside. Defensively, when you have, it essentially looks like an offensive line, really. Besides the size, when you have five starting guys that are 6'6" and above, that's formidable. That's a formidable defense. So the key is to be defensively sound. Use your size to your advantage, especially on the offensive side of the ball, where it could come to hurt you if the defenders aren't very mobile. Then the Bison are going to have a lot of trouble. So some of these forwards, they're big, but USC has some crafty guards of their own. So what USC could do to try and thwart this Bison defense is, you know, other than simply tire them out, is to use that three ball, to use those interior cuts, to be very fast and quick with the offense. So that way, you know, some of these slower moving players can't catch up. They're caught, you know, slipping on screens, things like that. So that, you know, USC can try and score quickly instead of trying to give it inside to Chimezie or Benny to try and, you know, put it up off the glass against a team that has a lot of size and could block a lot of shots. But overall, looking out for the Bison, the key will have to be to maintain that perimeter defense. Make USC go inside on you. USC is a great three-point shooting team, as we mentioned. And so they'll try to beat you with the three ball. And so North Dakota State, they have to recognize that. They have to recognize that this team is a shoot first team, rather than, you know, you're not going to see them pass it around 20 times. You're going to see guys use their talents and take their shots, especially Benny Boatwright from the outside. So make sure to maintain that perimeter pressure and force this Trojan offense inside. And you can get a lot of blocks, but you also have to anticipate a lot of USC players to make their shots because they are incredibly talented and not easily challenged themselves. So overall, it should be a great game. Two different types of games for USC. And a lot of people may look at North Dakota State and say, oh, they're a non-conference team. Like, don't worry about them. But every game to start the season is a challenge. And I'm sure that's what Andy Enfield and his whole coaching staff was thinking when they created the schedule, is that we want to challenge ourselves, see a variety of opponents. And North Dakota State, definitely a different type of opponent from the Summit League up north. You know, a whole range of players can hurt you, especially from the outside, but also inside, a lot of size. And there's some question marks from this USC team, and not in the sense that do they have enough talent, but it's about, where's the ball going to go? How are they going to work offensively in terms of schematics? Are we going to see the same thing that we would against Fullerton? Are they going to try to go with, you know, trying to pound the ball inside? Are they going to try and step back and take a little bit more threes? Who knows? I guess the pace of game will certainly determine, and obviously they'll adjust from the game against Fullerton, see what worked, see what didn't, and adjust their game plan accordingly. So now that we've covered both of North Dakota State and Cal State Fullerton, two of these state schools, let's get into a little bit about the Trojans right now. There's been a lot of talk about this team nationally in the Pac-12 as well, you know, potentially upsetting Arizona as the Pac-12 champion. a lot of season is left to play. But in talking with some of these players, we mentioned earlier how a lot of them felt their number one concern right now was their defense. And talking with Elijah Stewart, he mentioned that their defense that needs a lot of help, a lot of defensive sets. So let's take a listen from the quote from Elijah Stewart on what he had to say about the status of this USC team.
We're gonna need all 7 of these days before we feel like comfortable, but the pieces are there. We just gotta learn how to put them together, especially like intermingling freshmen into the lineup. It should be interesting to see how we put everything together. Like, everyone's playing good right now. Defensively, we got to start trusting each other a little bit more and just learn the rotations. We got to play better defense for sure. Defense is going to be a big thing that we're going for this year, because the way we're trying to play, we have to get stops, get rebounds, and run out. I've been working defensively. I just have to say rebounding. Yeah, rebounding. We need to focus more on rebounding. Other than that, like, we always stop the first option. You guys start stopping the second and third and fourth and just closing out possessions. I know it was a lot less. We did a lot less defensive drills. I feel like than in previous years, I know we always been defensive orientated. And the training camp was defense. But now it's more like, learn how to like execute the offense and looking for more options. Since like we've been there, like we kind of know how to like read the options and read how teams try to take away one possession or one option and get in the second one. Yeah, like they know, they're coming into a program where some of the players kind of help build it up. So we just got seniority and basically like dibs on the minutes. And you just gotta come in, and whenever you play, you just gotta do the right thing, play defense and rebound, and there's always minutes for that. Yeah. Really big energy guy, improved shooter since he's been in college. I know like when he first got here, no one really knew what he was good at besides bringing energy, and he's been in the gym working on his pull-up, his three-pointer, and it's really showing. As a point guard, it's always going to be hard coming to a new program because you have to learn the offense, learn the defensive schemes, and especially like with like Jordan, who like knows the ins and outs of offense and defense. You just have to like learn from him and like just like work together. They'd be a real good power couple. Tim's doing a really good job. Like we just all have like everyone as a whole, like the whole message during training camp, just learn how to talk to each other. Whenever you're playing out there, it can always get passionate. We just gotta learn how to make that passion to positive energy. So with that being said, like becoming a captain, you're kind of like the role model, and you have to, like, whatever you do, people are going to think it's acceptable to do. So we've all just been, like, working on just talking to each other the correct way, getting your point across without being disrespectful. And I feel like he's really learning how to do that now.
And furthermore, in speaking with Derek Thornton, the transfer from Duke, he could be an X factor for this team this year. A big question mark in the sense that Jordan McLaughlin's going to be the surefire point guard, the surefire one. But Jordan McLaughlin, you know, he needs rest. Not every guy can play 30, 35 minutes a game, 40 minutes a game. So Thornton's definitely going to be coming on the bench in relief of McLaughlin. And so I asked him after practice last Friday how he felt about his chances this season in terms of helping this team, but also just how he's adjusting to Southern California and to this USC ball club.
I mean, it feels almost unreal, man. It feels so good to be able to play again. I mean, I still haven't played my first game. And, I'm just really excited to get out there and compete against other guys other than the people on our team. So I'm just really excited, and I'm really focused on, just our goals of the year. It feels great. I mean, I think I accomplished, and our team there accomplished some good things. But, I'm on a new chapter in my life with a new group of guys and a new coaching staff and a new school. So I'm just, really focused on everything we have going here, the past of the past. I'm just ready to move on and, do as much positive I can at this program. Of course, I was here all last year, and we would hang out with the guys. And we have a really good group of guys. So I feel like, we all as a team, get along great off the court, on the court. It's been a lot of fun. So much just my shot consistency with my shot, leadership, gained some weight, just my all-around game, just sharpening everything, just trying to become a better player, person, all around. So everyone's playing really well. We've had a great preseason. It's coming to an end, like, soon. But we've been competing really hard. Our freshmen, Jordan Usher, Chuck O'Bannon, and Victor, they've been doing a great job learning, picking up on everything. They play extremely hard. They can score, play great defense. So I'm excited to, you know, be able to play with them, like, night in, night out. So.
And I spoke briefly with head coach Andy Enfield. I asked his thoughts about this team and also about this team's ranking. And in the past, the guys, they've been ranked before. This team we saw, fresh, 2015, 2016, that year, that they were ranked high and they got a little bit complacent. So I asked him how he felt that this team was doing, how he felt himself about the preseason ranking. Did it matter as much, or is it just a drop in the bucket? Let's listen.
It's quite an accomplishment for our players to be ranked in the top 10 for the first time in 43 years preseason. That means that they people think that they've done enough to deserve that. So it is an accomplishment. They've been to two straight NCAA tournaments. We have everyone returning and some talented young players. So we're excited about the possibilities this year of how they can. We're excited about the possibilities this year. However, preseason rankings are just that. It's preseason, and we have to go prove ourselves once we start playing. And we don't take anything for granted. We understand that we have a very challenging out-of-conference schedule, and then the Pac-12 is as good as it's ever has been. And so we know that because we're ranked, the teams are going to try to knock us down or knock us off. And we're going to have to do our best to stay focused on the process of getting better, not necessarily the end result of winning games. We have to keep improving. We have a lot of improvement to do.
And finally, leadership was something that was talked about by a lot of these players in their interviews. They mentioned how, you know, a lot of these new guys, they're coming and they're looking for guidance. They're looking for Chimezie Metu and Benny Bo. Right now they're juniors. Now there's some of these leaders on their team. Chimezie Metu named a captain. Let's listen in to what he had to say about his ability to be a leader as well. Elijah Stewart, he had some interesting thoughts as well in terms of being a leader on the team and helping some of these young guys grow.
It's been good. You know, we have a lot of stuff to work on, and we're just getting better every day. And hopefully by next week we have everything down packed and the guys are ready to go. Just touched up on the stuff that we've been teaching all summer. You know, our defensive principles and guys know where they have to be at a certain points of the game and when teams are running different stuff. So we're just touching up on the little things. I just think trying to just be a leader for the younger guys and just trying to be there for my teammates when they're down or sometimes guys go into slumps. You know, I'm not the perfect person, but I know that if I can, help guys when they're down and need some help, then it'll be a huge boost for us. It meant a lot. It just meant that my teammates had a lot of trust in me. You know, I didn't even vote for myself, so that showed you where I was at. But my teammates voted for me, and it was a role that I wasn't really shooting for, but. I got it, and now I have to live up to it. So I'm just working every day to try to be a better leader. I don't think it adds any pressure. I just think it just maybe adds just a little bit of expectation for me myself, because it just shows me that even though I don't think of myself as being the leader or whatever of the team, the other guys do. So I have to step up. Yeah, I mean, we saw the rankings, but we know back deep in the back of our minds that it doesn't really mean anything, and we go out there and lose on Friday, and then we go from 10 to not being ranked at all. So we still have to go out there, and we still have a lot of stuff to prove to people. 10 is good, but we're shooting for number one. Last Friday we learned a lot about ourselves. Defensively we have a lot to work on. Like I said, we're just touching up on the defensive stuff for the past week. So and this. The team we play tomorrow in the scrimmage is going to be a really good test. You know, they run a lot of like Princeton style offense, backdoors, a lot of cuts. I think it's going to be really good for us.
It's a good team. You know, we're still learning a lot. I mean, even though we're experienced, we're still learning every single day in practice, each game. The freshmen are learning the new sets and everything, getting adjusted to actually playing in the real game, you know. So these first couple of scrimmages have been good for us as a team. Yeah, our defense isn't where we want it just yet. You know, we're trying to get better every single day with practice. But, yeah, our sets are – we just got to learn – the freshmen got to learn our sets and know what we're doing, what we're looking for. And I feel like the only way they'll be able to learn that is through playing a game, you know. In practice, you only get looks from us, but – actually guarding somebody else's sets, it challenges you, not knowing what's coming. So you got to rely on your principles, and that's what we're teaching everyone. Yeah, just learning everything. You know, it's a lot to learn. We got a lot of plays and a lot of defensive assignments and stuff, and just trying to relate it to them after the coach says it. You know, that's what having our experience is. It's good for us. You know, coach is able to say what he wants, and then we're able to explain it a little bit further from what we see. Because coach, we might not always see the same thing. So we're able to just relate on it a little bit more. Just telling them how much harder it is, you know, having that ranking by your name, university, it's tougher. It's that much tougher. And I'd say the same thing. It's great to be recognized, but at the end of the game, when the game starts, it's 0-0. So the ranking don't mean nothing at that point. So you got to go out and win. But just making sure everybody stays focused and know what we're trying to accomplish.
Right. And so you've been nominated for a bunch of, you know, preseason award lists, mm-hmm. but awards don't really mean anything. You're looking for that national championship. How hungry are you for that title?
I'm super hungry, man. I've been making sure I stay healthy, everybody else stays healthy, and we're competing at a high level. We got so much talent on this team, you know. Everybody's fighting for minutes, and it's good for the team to just keep battling like that at a high level, because that March, that's what it is. Everybody's playing at a high level, so it's good that we're practicing it now.
All right, so that's all we have here for the Trojan Hoopcast. We hope that you enjoyed all that we brought to you today in terms of our breakdown of North Dakota State as well as Cal State Fullerton. Should be an intriguing game. Make sure to stay here with the Daily Trojan. Don't go anywhere else for your coverage of Trojan basketball. We have Angel Vascara as well, Jonathan Horowitz on our staff to help cover this team. So make sure to follow them on Twitter for the latest updates. But for this edition of the Trojan Hoopcast, I'm Keith DeMolder saying thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Fight on.